Well, joining us now from Southern California, I'm very happy to have him on today, and that is J.P. Hornstra, who covers baseball in Southern California for the Southern Cal News Group. J.P., how are you?
I'm doing good, Marty. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Just trying to get through this this weekend here and figure out what's going on. It's a good matchup tonight, Cueto and Kershaw.
It is. It's interesting to see how both of these guys evolve to keep their jobs, really, but also to still be considered the ace of their respective staff here at this stage of their career. Kershaw's last start, he was
game
just
300
a master.
For 300 for Cueto. And let's talk a little bit about Kershaw, and you were starting to get in there before I jumped in on Kershaw's last start. This is only his second start of the year. Supposed to start against the Giants opening day, and he had that back stiffness. Where's he at now, and what was his start against Arizona like?
Yeah, physically, he seems fine. I think that was actually a pretty minor setback, as scary as it was. So, that start against Arizona, it was one of the best outings that I've seen from him in a while. It wasn't exactly vintage Kershaw in the sense that he was topping out at 93, but in the context of like the last 2 years, that's pretty good for him. And he was just a master of location. I mean, anywhere he wanted to put the baseball, it seemed like he was able to do it. I don't think that he maybe one or two spots that he missed, didn't give up a hit until the fourth inning. And it was one of those games where you didn't know that he was going to give up a hit. Probably fortunate for Dave Roberts that he did, because, first start of the season coming off an injury, you don't want to leave Clayton Kershaw in there to pitch a 9-inning complete game. But it was certainly encouraging for him. I think that if you're the Giants, that having to face that Kershaw is intimidating.
J.P., Seager went out last night. What's up with his back?
Just got the word pregame from Dave Roberts here that they did a scan on his lower back. It came back clean, so no structural damage, which is good. Corey Seager won't play today. He's day-to-day. Might see him in there tomorrow, but the Giants might miss him, which that's a break if there is one. Seager and A.J. Pollock had been the team's best hitters. Flat out in the first couple weeks here of the season. So, Kike Hernandez will go in there today. He's not the same hitter. Defensively, the Dodgers will be fine, but, I can see them missing his bat if that becomes an extended injury.
Well, we got the lineup. Jock Peterson, Mookie Betts, Bellinger, Turner, Muncy, Pollock, Taylor, and as you said, Kike Hernandez, and Barnes doing the catching here in this one. Muncy has been struggling until he saw the Giants again last night.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Muncy had hit first or second in every game that he played this season up until yesterday, and Dave Roberts dropped him down to number six in the batting order. And I asked Dave, I said, it's only 50 at-bats, but if you kind of prorate that out over a full season, it's like we're basically in game 35 or so. And I said, where are you managing it? As if it's game 14 or if it's game 35. And he said game 35. And, dropping a guy who's hit 35 home runs each year last 2 years, four spots in the batting order, that might not go over well if you're basing it on a sample size of 50 plate appearances. But Dave said there hasn't been any situations like that. Everybody's on board with him managing with a greater sense of urgency given the shortened season. And it looks like that move paid off for Max Muncy. Maybe it took some pressure off.
Hey, Urias last night looked like maybe got into a little bit with Dave Roberts. They did show it on TV. Urias talking to a teammate and Roberts sort of lecturing him. My take on Urias, and I said it on the show when we opened tonight, not a real good swing and miss pitch right now. A lot of foul balls, big pitch count, a lot of three ball counts. When he goes against the Giants, I feel the Giants have a chance to stay close and they're going to get him out of the game. What's up between Urias and Dave Roberts? What was your take on it?
I think the take is that he had only thrown 78 pitches to that point, and it was the shortest outing of the season. He didn't expect to be removed at that point in the game. And there were, plenty of reasons. reasons to have faith that Julio Urías, having only given up one run to that point in the game, could continue to get at least one more inning before getting up to 100 pitches. I think it was less the pitch count and more just the length of some of the at-bats, where Roberts was worried about Urias's pace, I think, just having to throw that many pitches in that short of a time. I don't know if that translated in their conversation. We'll see. You know how it is, Marty. You watch 10 baseball games in a day, and you'll probably see 20, anywhere between 10 and 20 starting pitchers complaining that they should have been in the game longer. So until I see further evidence, I think that's how I'm going to assume that was.
Well, I like the fact from an opponent's standpoint, he doesn't put you away. And there are a lot of pitches, and he nibbles. He's a nibbler, and he throws a lot of curveballs. For a kid with a mid-90s fastball, it looks like he probably should use it a little more, but what do I know? Hey, Barnes is in there to catch. I know the fans that look at your Twitter feed, they're not thrilled with it.
Fans haven't been thrilled with Austin Barnes for about 3 years. That's basically, I think, catcher framing is harder to appreciate than hitting. And Austin Barnes isn't a great hitter, but he is a great framer, and that's why he's in there. Clayton Kershaw likes having him back there.
Okay.
I'm sure you'll see Will Smith tomorrow, but the Dodgers love his work as a catcher behind the plate, and it's the most important defensive position on the field. So fans will be complaining all season, but Austin Barnes will keep playing as long as he keeps catching the way that he has.
All right. Tomorrow it is Walker Buehler, Kevin Gausman, who's got a lot of strikeouts, gets a little bit of too much of the plate from time to time, but maybe one of the stronger pitchers for the Giants. For Walker Buehler, not off to a great start. What's up with him?
Yeah, Buehler was maybe the only guy on this team who I heard say that he paced himself not knowing, if there would be a season. And so that set him back a little bit with respect to the rest of his teammates on the pitching staff. He did not come to summer camp in July, having built up his arm, having faced live hitters, having done all those things where he could be able to pitch five innings from game one. And so it really was a second spring training for him. And I think that analogy gets a little bit overused. Yes, if you look at where we are on the calendar right now, it's kind of like the end of spring training. But for most of the guys on the Dodgers staff, I don't think that is true at all. Clayton Kershaw was facing live hitters in Texas in June. But Walker Buehler wasn't. He went home, he rested a little bit more, and I think, eventually, if this is the Walker Buehler that we've come to expect, a guy a lot of people picked to win a Cy Young Award, you'll see that Walker Buehler eventually. But this is still potentially part of his ramp-up, so
okay. This
is going to be interesting tomorrow to see just how close he is.
Well, the first two games of the opening series, the Dodgers won 17-2, and the Giants came back and took the last two. So we'll see if they can find a way tonight and do something tomorrow. Bill Lasky, when he was on earlier today with us, said he felt the Dodger bullpen is falling into shape. Florio last night was outstanding. Alexander was outstanding. Do you feel the bullpen is coming together?
Yeah, I do. It's weird. I don't think I can remember a season, Marty, and I've been covering this team for like 9 years, where the bullpen was as much of a strength as it is with this group. Maybe that's because the rosters have expanded and they're able to be a little bit more liberal with situations that they use guys in. That could be the case, but just in terms of the number of options that they have to get good hitters out, I can't remember a Dodger bullpen looking this good. Certainly that takes a lot of pressure off of Kenley Jansen, who's been asked to carry the group at times. He doesn't have to do that at all this year. Dennis Santana's another kid who looked really good last night. You mentioned Floro, Joe Kelly. There are a lot of options in that bullpen, and we haven't even talked about the back end guys. Trinan and Jansen are on paper a really good 8-9, 8th inning, 9th inning combination. And as long as the starting pitcher is, like I said, Walker Buehler, it might be a bit of an upset if he does pitch 5 innings tomorrow. Dodgers might need that bullpen in a low-scoring game.
Mm. Boy, what, are you having fun with the NL West? And I'm going to get into it later in the show, not with you. We don't have to do it now. But the expanded playoffs of 16 teams and 8 teams and 2 wild cards, I mean, it's crazy. Some teams haven't played a lot of games. Some teams are really off to a bad start in the National League. And then we have our little race in the National League West with the Padres, Rockies, and Dodgers, kind of maybe the best race of the whole National League.
Right. Well, you know, we're only going to see West teams this regular season. Yeah. It's going to be 60 games against those teams. So, you know, they're used to it. I'm not sure I'm sold on the Rockies yet, Marty. It's still a small sample, and just given the roster that they're rolling out every day, I don't know that is a roster that would be expected to be first or second place by the end of the season. But I think the Padres are legit. You know, I saw the Dodgers playing in San Diego earlier this week, and there is nothing phony about that team. That is a very good team, and I think I would expect them to be in there up until the end. Fun young team to watch with some fun players, and they're back in the brown uniforms, which is really cool. we'll see about the Rockies. The Diamondbacks played the Dodgers pretty tough this week too. I wouldn't necessarily count them out yet either. But I think you're right. I think it's going to be a pretty competitive division, not just because of the small sample, but because there's
no. We've got, you know, we don't have COVID, we don't have the Marlins, we don't have the Cardinals, and thank God we have baseball, and it's actually it's actually played out well. Before I let you go, I know you cover the Angels as well. I know they're struggling. Pujols is sitting on the precipice of a very important home run for him. Ohtani is out. You want to give us a quick thumbnail on the Angels?
Sure. Ohtani's out pitching wise. He'll still hit. He'll still DH this year, and that's a pretty big weapon for a lineup. But you know, this is not entirely unexpected from an Angel team that went into last offseason really needing to upgrade its starting rotation and got Dylan Bundy, got Julio Teheran, and pretty much said, all right, well, that's it. Matt Andreese is kind of a swing man. He's been starting a little bit, but, you know, they needed a marquee starter. They needed a Gerrit Cole, and they didn't get that, and now they've lost Ohtani for the season as a pitcher. So this is a team, Marty, that's going to need to score. I don't want to put a number on it, but like, I don't know, 6 to 10 runs a night, like realistically. Otherwise, we're going to see the pattern that has been both predictable and realized, which is that there's a lot of stress on the bullpen. It's not as deep of a bullpen as the Dodgers, where they can just mix and match ideal scenarios for each of their personnel all day long. And until some of their starting pitchers really step up and pitch deeper into ball games, you know, this is going to be the story of the Angels season. I wouldn't count them out just yet because, you know, like I said, for some pitchers, this might still be the end of spring training and they might not be their fully realized selves. But I just think that pitching is going to be a struggle for the Angels all season long. And until then, their lineup is really going to have to hit its weight 1 through 9.
Boy, good report. JP, always a pleasure to have you on Southern Cal News Group, JP Hornstra on Twitter. And you do a great job, and you're our connection to Southern California, so we'll see what Kershaw and Cueto can conjure up tonight. But I tend to agree with you. I think it'll be a closer game, and I think we'll see a significant bullpen behind both guys tonight.
I think so, too. It's a fun matchup. We should enjoy it while they're here for us.
Really? Thanks, JP. Have a good night. Thank you.
Same to you, Marty.
All right, more coming up. KMBR 680-1045, the sports leader.